is going on this week? You know what, Todd? You know, during the agenda, we always kind of look ahead to the week ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction here about the days ahead. I predict we're going to be hearing a lot more of this voice.
Beginning August 23rd, BP is out of the claims business, and the Gulf Coast Claims Facility will be listening to those complaints, hopefully responding much quicker with much more certainty and getting checks out faster.
That is Ken Feinberg, of course. He will be running the new claims facility for damages.
The man they seem to call in every crisis.
He is the crisis guy. He was actually speaking to us on The Takeaway on August 13th. Hundreds of lawsuits have already been filed by spill victims that could go into the thousands. We're going to see whether or not Feinberg is right, if the Gulf victims actually do see quicker response to their claims. But for the rest of what's going on this week, we're joined by Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Charlie, a lot of economic figures due out this week, and yet your word is?
Slowdown. And it's slowdown in the sense of slowdown of the economy. There's really the sense of there's a downshifting that's going on. And there's a slowdown in Washington in terms of dealing with the recess now with Congress and the president away.
Okay. And we also have a lot of anniversaries coming this week. Ted Kennedy's death, of course, in Hurricane Katrina. J. Newton Small, Time Magazine's Washington correspondent, sees these and the upcoming midterm primaries as a symbol of what, Jay? Government failure. Okay, well, let's start with that, Jay, because that's kind of a surprising response. 1 year ago on Wednesday, Senator Ted Kennedy passed away.
And really, to me, it's a symbol of the loss of bipartisanship in the Senate. I mean, he's not the only—I mean, we've lost in recent months Ted Stevens, for example, of Alaska. We've also lost Robert Byrd of West Virginia. We've lost an entire generation that has retired, including John Warner of Texas, Pete Giamatti of New Mexico. And these guys are really the guys who would reach across the aisle and make deals. And in their absence, it's been a crazy place of hyperpartisanship, which has created, very partisan bills and incredible log jams.
All right. Well, you also say that the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina is a sign of government failure. That's perhaps a little bit more self-explanatory. 5 years ago this week, Hurricane Katrina began forming the Atlantic as it moved toward the Gulf Coast. How do these two anniversaries connect for you?
Well, Katrina to me seems like the beginning of where people stopped having faith that government could handle crises. And then the crises since, the response has been people haven't really felt the response. The stimulus bill, the government says that saved jobs, but it didn't really create that many jobs. People haven't felt the impact of it yet. They've said never let a good crisis go to waste, but nobody's really felt the impact of health care or financial regulatory reform. Even the Gulf oil spill, they haven't felt the effects of that. It's been almost a preventative measures in this case. So, really the government's handling of crises since Katrina hasn't been stellar. They're still trying to get their footing on these things.
All right. Well, let me ask Charlie about another crisis then, and how well the government has been dealing with that. Existing home sales numbers for July are coming out tomorrow. And on Wednesday, we'll get the new home sales figures for July. What do you expect to see?
In general, that the number of home sales have gone down dramatically. I mean, this is in part because there was this tax credit that was out there for first-time home buyers. There was a huge surge in June that we saw in the existing home sale purchases. Almost half of them were new home buyers, and that's expected to go away in July. These are, again, more signs of an economy slowing down, and every time each week that we get little pieces of information like this, I think it really sours people's moods towards how the economy is doing. And what Jay was talking about there, it really sours a sense that anything is coming out of Washington that's really addressing the problem.
Which takes us straight to the primaries, right? Jay, people are soured across the country, right? We get the Florida primaries tomorrow. Arizona and other states will have primaries. We're going to talk about Arizona. What do you expect to see? Why is this a sign of government failure?
Certainly every incumbent in this climate, in this cycle, has something to worry about, Republican or Democrat. There's just a lot of anger at incumbents this cycle. The establishment, that people, who've been representing them for decades, aren't doing their jobs and have not been, they're very unhappy with them. So we've got John McCain, who was the Republican nominee in 2008, fighting for his life against a Republican primary challenger, J.D. Hayworth, a former congressman in Arizona. And it looks like it'll be a close race, but I think McCain will pull it out. In Florida, you've got a bunch of really amazingly close races. You've got for governor, you've got Attorney General Bill McCollum facing businessman Rick Scott. Looks like Rick Scott's going to win that against the establishment candidate Bill McCollum. And you know, you've got even Kendrick Meek versus Jeff Green on the Democratic side for Senate. Kendrick Meek is the establishment candidate. He's also fighting for his life against businessman Jeff Green. So there's a lot of very close primaries that are going to happen tomorrow that, again, as we've seen again and again this cycle, just pit the establishment against these upstarts who are willing to just, you know, take on the candidates, whether it's with the help of the Tea Parties or with other groups from, you know, the left, Move On, and others, and really take on the establishment.
Okay, that is Jay Newton, small Time Magazine Washington correspondent. Don't go away, Jay. I have a question for you. But in the meantime, Charlie, one more number, and it's a big one coming out this
big
week.
One.
The second of three estimates for the second quarter GDP numbers. That's due out on Friday. And is this going to be really different from the first estimate?
Pretty significantly. I mean, most economists have been really downgrading what they think how well the economy grew in the second quarter this year. This would be the April, May, June period.
Right.
They are seeing that the previous report was about 2.4%. Now they're expecting it to be about 1.4%. And basically, that's not very sustainable. It's not a very good level of growth. And the worry is that with unemployment as high as it is, if the economy is only growing at that level, unemployment will continue to stay that high. It'll really take a long time for unemployment to come down if businesses are not hiring in much larger numbers.
All right, Charlie, one question for you. All this week, we're partnering with Scientific American to talk about the end, right? And one of the things we're asking our listeners is choose something, either something you don't want to see end or something that you could do without. And what would it be?
That we could do without.
Either one. Something you couldn't do without or something you wouldn't be sorry to see end.
Well, I personally couldn't do without coffee. But if you're sort of talking about it on an economic terms,
the end.
I think on economic terms, one of the things that we need to see an end of higher unemployment. I could be very happy with that going away. And I think that would be a sign the economy is improving and doing better.
Jay Newton Small, you have an answer for me?
Something I couldn't do without besides coffee as well.
Or something you wouldn't mind ending.
The filibuster in the Senate. I think that would unplug things a lot.
Jay Newton Small wants to see the filibuster end, and Charlie Herman wants to see high unemployment numbers end. Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Jay Newton Small, Time Magazine correspondent. She joined us from Washington, D.C.